All right, time to welcome back to the program Professor Dr. Eric Carlstrom. I feel like I should be speaking German when I say that for some reason. Why is that? Herr Dr. Eric Carlstrom. Well, Herr Doctor, welcome back. How are you?
Fine, Jeff. Good to be back. And we have been kind of zeroing in on mind control topics. And I'm always always happy to kind of explore that vein, in kind of as in a minor sense, you know, just see what we can find if we dig down that tunnel and trace that vein along. And I think we're going to find some extremely important information and revelations. I think it's such a key aspect of what's happening in our world today.
That's huge. What's amazing is the scope of the attack, the assaults, largely through pharmacological and electronic frequencies, but the attack on such a wide group of Americans. Most never understood, will never understand how this was done, why it was done. We tell them, you tell them, you've been brilliant at it for years, but this is a big attack and assault on the people of this country. It goes back nearly 100 years? Something like that. It's close. Anyway,
yes,
it's
certainly
a big deal. This isn't like one out of a million people, friends. This is much more than that. This is a lot of people.
Yes, and I think it's such a vast subject. You know, we're whittling away at it. but the more we can learn as a public, the more we can perhaps begin to defend ourselves, because there's so many different kinds of mind control. But the really horrific MK Ultra experiments done between 1953 and 1973 by CIA and CIA paid doctors, etc., and of course Defense Department and many other agencies got into such horrors, I think, that we're seeing almost the CIA crossed a Rubicon, in my opinion, and I've studied this and written articles about this. It's as if they, perhaps as representatives of the globalist power structure, I think they are. I think they were never really serving the American people. Rather, they were serving the international bankers, and we know who those guys are. They were treating like American citizens like cockroaches, and doing these secret experiments in all kinds of medical hospitals and army bases throughout the land, and all this was very, very, very top secret.
Let me ask you a question.
It was a Manhattan Project of the mind, and it started to come to light in 1977 under the Frank Church Senate hearings, and then it was swept under the rug again, because the impression the CIA left was that, oh, well, it was a failure, all this mind control stuff, and, oh, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Well, it wasn't a failure. It was radically successful and has been used time and time again in all kinds of, assassinations, as we've talked about, and false flags and government overthrows, et cetera, of the CIA. It's been ongoing.
Can I ask a question, Eric? This is important.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, this had faded away. There used to be, I guess in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, 60s, mental hospitals all over the country for the mentally disturbed, mentally troubled Americans. People would go into they used to call them loony bins. People would be put in a mental facility for 6 months. Some would be given lobotomies, whatever. That's just a terrible thing. But this probably goes back for the better part of 100 years. And I'm wondering if many of the programs had tentacles into these mental hospitals, which were disbanded in the 60s and 70s. They let them all go. Some people want them to come back again. I think Trump is one of them. But that was a very big part of America's health paradigm, mental hospitals. I'm not kidding. For those of you who may doubt that, it's the truth. You can look it up. But what do you think? Did they use those hospitals to find volunteers, so to speak?
Absolutely, and that just sets the stage. Well said, Jeff, for our topic, which is a book by Karen Wetmore, a citizen of Vermont who was diagnosed as mentally ill. We can talk about the circumstances. And then was put in one of these sanitariums, which is called the Vermont State Hospital, or VSH, as she writes in her book. Her book came out in 2014, Surviving Evil, CIA Mind Control Experiments in Vermont. It's a wonderful book. We mentioned it in our last discussion last week, I believe. And I wanted to go deeper into this because this lady, her story is horrific, unbelievable, except it's true, and it doesn't have a happy ending. She did get, she was a multiple personality disorder, created, of course, by trauma-based mind control. In her case, she was raped by a neighbor, rather periodically when she was a young girl. Of course, that would cause a child to dissociate. And a dissociative subject then is perfect for CIA mind control, quote-unquote, experiments. And the CIA initiated MKUltra, MK standing for mind control, back in 1953 under Alan Dulles, who was the director. And he made statements at that time such as, "We need human guinea pigs." And, well, Karen Wetmore was one of these human guinea pigs. She came from a nice family in Brandon, Vermont. As I say, she was raped as a child, and this certainly prepared her for her later role as a non-consensual, unwitting CIA MKUltra experimentee. She had a breakdown at the age of 13 in 1965 for depression and having suicidal thoughts. Well, if she'd been raped all that, you know, for childhood, well, that's not exactly it's kind of to be expected, actually, but they use that as a excuse to commit her to the Vermont State Hospital, which had been a sanitarium going back for about till the 1870s. So it's one of those hospitals you're referring to. It was not doing very well, but in 1953, the CIA pumped in lots and lots of money because they had their top secret MKUltra program going, and of course they needed human guinea pigs. And she then went through every imaginable kind of torture at the hands of the CIA doctors. I guess I can go into these if break in any time. But she became, she was from a good family. Her mother and dad loved her. She was from a middle-class family. And very bright. She played the guitar. She loved to ride horses. She was subjected to all manner of tortures to erase her memory, per Dr. Ewan Cameron's depatterning experiments in his MKUltra subproject 68 experiments up at McGill University's Allen Memorial Institute in Canada, in Montreal. And also, these tortures were designed to create mental illness through the use of drugs, chemically. And so she was incarcerated, you might say. In that time, she'd be in for 3 or 4 years and then out, kind of on the street trying to make back in and out of this, you know, for a number of years up until the end of the program in 1973. But in the time she was in between 70 and 73, she was subject to 7-month-long period of complete isolation and restraint. She was placed in straitjackets and wristlets, hands and feet tied to beds. She was often made to sleep naked on the cold stone floor with her hands tied behind her back for extended periods. Is this, she asks in the book, is this related to MKUltra Subproject 49 conducted by Alden Sears at University of Denver? As we'll see, I'll just go through what she was subjected to, but as we'll see, she was able to integrate her multiple personalities later in life and did a tremendous amount of research. So the book starts off with basically her telling her story chronologically, and then she has almost half the book as appendices talking about, as she was able to trace back and identify these CIA doctors and their programs and where these programs were carried out. So she's really a remarkable case. So she was also subject to hypnosis in special interrogation sessions, and in some of these she was taught firearm skills, of which she was totally amnesic. So she would find out these skills later on. I didn't know I could shoot like that, you know. So she, you know, she was put through all kinds of military special interrogation. Actually, also is programming and torture. She was put through ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, or, you know, shock therapy, at 30 to 35 times the regular dosage, and with the shock lasting 100 or more times the length of normal exposure, in order to create seizures, to erase her memory and depattern her brain, per Dr. Ewan Cameron. In one ECT episode, she stopped breathing for 5 minutes and had to be medically revived. In other words, they killed her, brought her to the edge of death. She was subject to all kinds of EEGs. She was electroencephalograph tests, which in her case were quite almost life-threatening. She was subjected to voice to skull. We've talked about that. V2K, or synthetic telepathy, where she's hearing voices that are projected into her head electromagnetically. She's exposed to large doses of many different varieties of drugs, including LSD. We talked about that last time. Metrazole, which was used on POWs in the Soviet gulags and is also used to produce amnesia. A whole series of phenothiazine drugs, such as thorazine, stilazine, and Melaril, up to 1,800 milligrams per day, if anybody's interested in that stuff.
Wow. What year time frame was this, please?
This was 70 to 73, when they really zeroed in on her as a MKUltra test subject.
Got it.
She was given large doses of sodium amytal, which was used by the MKUltra science as a way to map the unconscious mind so she could be, you know, taken advantage of and exploited later. And many other types of drugs, including many powerful tranquilizing drugs that she was allergic to, and often cocktail drugs of 8 or 9 drugs at a time. So she was also unwittingly surgically implanted with sensors. We see this in a lot of targeted individuals. And during this time, she made many, many, many attempts at suicide, but it was not successful. At least one of her doctors, a guy named Dr. Curlin, took advantage of her sexually when she was, you know, out of it, comatose, drugged up, etc. She was turned into a programmed multiple personality disorder, MPD, or now called DID, dissociative identity disorder.
I can't believe she or anyone is able to reintegrate the huge number of fragmented personalities to put them back together in a functional singular unit, or reasonably so. I can't believe that can be done. When somebody is shattered like that, they're usually gone forever. I mean, that's a remarkable achievement.
You're right. Absolutely. And see, one of the aspects of this story that is so compelling, it is a remarkable achievement, and she was able to reintegrate with the help of a therapist named Kathy Judge, who she writes about, and it was, you know, a long and difficult process, but she was able to regain her most of her identity. And then she spent, I think, you know, decades trying to figure out what had happened to her, because her memory had been essentially erased, which is, of course, what they were trying to do. So she had to find out what was done to her by exploring the medical records. She was sending off to the hospital, getting all her medical records. She was doing all these FOIA requests to the CIA and many other agencies, and over a period, and reading many books about this particular area and this time period, and she was able to kind of recreate the atrocities that were done to her, and who did it, and when. So it is a remarkable story, and what she also found out en route is that this particular hospital at that time, people were dying about the rate of almost one every other day, which is much, much higher than usual. And she's speculating that that these were indeed terminal experiments, which the CIA called for in some of their documents. And in other words, they're pushing these individuals to the very limits of what humans can bear. And to do that, of course, they're going to lose some. And in this case, it seems like this particular hospital lost about 3,000 deaths of patients in that 20-year time span, which is remarkably high. So she's speculating that these, in fact, it's not surprising that it sounds like that she was also subjected to quote-unquote terminal experimentation. She could have died. They killed her, in fact, and brought her back to life with the electroshock.
All the ones, Eric, that they kill, we never hear about them. They're just
that's right. Of.
It's over. We don't know how many. 10,000? 100,000? We don't know. We'll never know. They're just gone. Every year in this country, how many people disappear? Permanently. Lots.
Well, they have a record of, Ted Gunderson says, 80 to 100,000 children go missing every year. That's just children. And the FBI does not track them. The FBI tracks stolen cars, but it doesn't track stolen children. Because I
tell
think
you
they're part of
the system. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope so. This is part of the absolutely super satanic evil that is running this planet. Go ahead. Jeez.
Absolutely right.
Mind-boggling.
Exactly right on. Okay, so in 73, she was discharged from the hospital, the Vermont State Hospital, on the same year that the CIA MKUltra experiments were stopped by the director, Richard Helms, and the same year that Helms ordered the destruction of all MKUltra files. So I don't think that's a coincidence that she was discharged at that time. She was no longer needed as a involuntary test subject, and they didn't have the money for it. So the CIA would have pumped in an enormous amount of money into hospitals like Vermont State Hospital and many, many others. I can read off lists that she has compiled of all these CIA sites. It's actually mind-boggling how many institutions, respectable institutions, were involved, and I'm sure still are. So in 1988, she began the process of therapy and reintegration of her multiple personalities with her therapist, Kathy Judge. And she still had, you know, she had basically had her memories erased, but she was able to start bringing some back with all her research and her therapy. Again, learning from her medical records, she began to piece things together. In 1998, she filed a lawsuit against the state of Vermont and began filing many FOIA requests to the various agencies. But she had a lawyer who was basically working for the other side and made it so they settled, and he made it so that new information could not be brought into the case. And, of course, new information showed up. She's one tiny woman trying to fight an enormous satanic system, as you say. But what's interesting here, Jeff, in 1998, just after she files the lawsuit and begins to file these FOIA requests, she becomes a targeted individual. Golly, isn't that interesting? Her phones are tapped, her certified mail is stolen. Wow. She's gang-stalked and harassed by strangers, including undercover federal agents, in all manner of locations and activities in her life. Now, isn't that interesting? Okay, the same system, then, that is doing these covert experiments, top secret terminal experiments, is apparently in communication with the individuals and groups that do the gang stalking. I guess that shouldn't come as a giant surprise, huh?
Not to me, no, but I'm sure to our listeners. Look, the evil, again, on this planet, I don't like saying this, but you, when you leave your home and go out, you are walking amongst monsters. Not all of them, but they're out there. You'll never be able to tell by looking. There are the most evil, deadly, diabolical killers walking the streets, driving the roads all around you, and you never know it. Be careful. You parents out there, do not ever let your children out of your arm's reach. You should be able to reach out with your arm and grab your child. That's how close they should be to you at all times when you're around any other people. I'm not kidding.
Yes, of course, I've been a TI myself since 2013, which has motivated my research into these topics, and I agree with you. Going back to our little timeline that I put together this afternoon from a couple documents, including a review of her book, in 2009 and 10, Karen Wetmore was filmed for the movie The Real Story, The Bourne Identity. So she's the real Bourne Identity. In other words, they create these killers in that manner. And this was put together by Blink Films in London and shown on the Smithsonian Channel in 2010. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch it. But I was able to find a couple of video interviews of her from a French group, so I was able to kind of get the idea and see what she looks like now. So anyway, her health issues today, of course, she's been shattered by this experience. She is an integrated multiple personality, but does still dissociate, that is to say, kind of, you know, zone out under stress. She's had two heart attacks. She's had three autoimmune diseases, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic depression, macular degeneration, and an anxiety disorder, and as I said, she has very little memory of what happened in her life, except what she's been able to reconstruct with the therapist. So this is unfortunately what our rulers, our betters, I suppose, think of us, that they will take somebody off the street from a nice family and put them as a cockroach or a lab rat. By the way, just to kind of follow up on that theme, Douglas Valentine's book, The CIA as Organized Crime, How Covert Operations Corrupt America and the World, Douglas Valentine states, the CIA views all of us as either cannon fodder or lab rats, as they did with Karen Wetmore, sometimes both, I'm sure. And Valentine also makes the point that the CIA runs the world's rackets. I don't know if you heard the story, but one of the Italian mafioso was on the witness stand, Gambino or Bonanno or something like that, and was asked, is your family in the drug business? And he said, no, we can't compete with the government. So we have a system now where organized crime is the government, and I think as citizens need to try to hold their feet to the fire if we can, and bringing out the truth would be the way to do it. Anna Paulina Luna's 1.5-hour hearing on June 30th this year, she's a Republican congresswoman, was entitled Mind Control and Accountability, Uncovering the Truth of the CIA's MKUltra Experiment.
That was it. One session? Are there more scheduled? Is that it? 1 hour and a half
scheduled? That's it, that I know
session?
Of.
And that nothing further. Wow.
So that's
turned over a lot of rocks,
like,
didn't she? The apple of our eye.
That's kind of like a grain of sand, you know, on a beach, you know.
That's an obscenity. I guess she can claim down the road when she's running for re-election that, yes, I held hearings and opened the door on blah, 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 blah. No, you didn't. No.
Yeah, well, as you say, she's probably being groomed for greater things. So this, I think, at least opens the door for citizens, you know, like us to try to, you know, find a few more grains of sand here. And we really owe a lot to heroines, I guess you'd call her, like Karen Wetmore. Her life was destroyed, but she had still the brains and the tenacity to put together this book, which has gotten relatively a lot of attention. She mentions a number of CIA doctors who were involved in her tortures. One was Dr. Robert W. Hyde. Perhaps this is of the Mr. Jekyll and Dr.
And
Hyde.
Yes, his partner, Doc Jekyll. Uh-huh.
And he was the principal investigator of MKUltra subprojects 8, 10, 10A, 60, and 63, and the director of research at the Vermont State Hospital. And I have to read just one little phrase from Project 8, MKUltra Subproject 8. I found it very meaningful as a TI. This is out of his report to psychomotility drugs and schizophrenic rehabilitation. They would use code words, of course, and schizophrenia would be often a code word for LSD experiments. They were inducing schizophrenia, so they would talk about schizophrenic rehabilitation when, in fact, they're inducing schizophrenia by giving LSD. So you have to understand the Orwellian use of words by these CIA doctors. Here he says, it is the responsibility of the examiner to successfully be an annoyer until the subject can no longer tolerate the frustration experience. This is a motor task. Discharge of tension through overactivity could be observed. Okay, the nice scientific lingo. The examiner and annoyer could easily, of course, become the CIA interrogator, intelligence agent, torturer, because, you know, the Kubark torture manual came out in 63, CIA Kubark manual, and they call torture enhanced interrogation. So the examiner would be the medical equivalent of, say, the intelligence agent interrogator. And the frustration experience in this Orwellian little sentence could equal, of course, torture, double binds, gang stalking, etc. And overactivity in the last sentence could certainly equal self-harm, harming others, committing crimes, having a psychotic break, committing suicide, killing somebody. In other words, breaking somebody until they overact. So this, I think, is a brilliant example, isn't it? You know, it's a startling example of how the truth can be cloaked in lingo that is difficult for the average person to understand. I'll read it one more time. It is the responsibility of the examiner to successfully be an annoyer. In other words, they're provoking, they're giving drugs, they're giving electroshock therapy, they're giving LSD, they're, you know, hitting the patient, whatever they want to do. They're abusing the thing until the subject can no longer tolerate the frustration experience. Since this is a motor task, discharge of tension through overactivity could be observed. And then, of course, the patient or the subject will flip out and do something crazy. And then they can lock them up. They can incarcerate them. They can put them in a mental hospital, whatever. Anyway, I thought that was kind of important. If for those who have watched The Good Shepherd, the movie, which is roughly based on Alan Dulles, the CIA director who started MKUltra, there is a scene where Dulles' assistant is interrogating, quote-unquote, a Russian agent who is coming in from the cold. There actually were two Russian agents saying they were the same person, and the first one came, he was the fake, and the second one was the real one. And of course they put the second one in the chair, and then they abused him, they interrogated, they tortured him till he flipped out and jumped out the window. I think that would be a good example of what he's talking about here. So this is all spy stuff merged with medical stuff. So we have I guess these medical doctors just love being in on the playing with the big boys.
They do. Let me say something else real quick.
Sure.
Is there? I've been doing this a while. I've talked to people about TIs long ago. Some of the legends. Is anyone using your brilliant overview of the entire situation to help bring this forward, or at least advise people who might be able to do something to either expose or even partially minimize any of it? You are, in my opinion, the most articulate, the most well-versed, thoroughly informed individual about this horror that anyone could hope to find. And I would hope that you're being invited to any conferences that may or may not have happened. I don't know if they're going on. But you, my friend, have more knowledge at your hand and at your convenience and disposal than anyone I can imagine having. And I'm serious. You are a true scholar in this field. So, and I'm not blowing smoke at you. I'm just saying somebody needs to use you and that knowledge to help bring this subject forward. And if there's anyone out there holding a conference, psychologist, psychiatrist, whatever, invite Dr. Carlstrom to come and address the group. Please, you'll never forget it. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. You know, I've, in response to that, you know, I am a full professor, and I did spend 30 years teaching at three universities. You know, I dug in on the 9/11 issue, and I have a website at 911nwo.com. I watched as a number of people came into the space of the 911 truth movement. Nobody ever invited me to anything. And I began to realize that these things are, you know, controlled to a large extent. I also have an enormous website, which is actually in my field, naturalclimatechange.org, and I've been sidelined on that because they want to have the impression, of course, this is all controlled by the intelligence agencies, the CIA in short. I've not been invited to those, and now they've got, I get sidelined. And it's pretty much the same in this field too. I've you know, so many people lock onto a subject and they stay with it, and that's good. You know, it's good to have experts in one field. I've kept moving since my retirement in 2011 through a number of fields, and I have five websites on that. But to answer your question more specifically, there is a book I've got in front of here, "The Battle for Your Brain: Psychological Warfare," by Virel Serb. Gang Stalking, Attention, Awareness, and he quotes my website and me, puts me, you know, in there as a source.
Good.
And there's many others that will know of me as a source. But I think the power and the influence of the intelligence agencies in this field, as in these other fields as well, is overwhelming. They want to isolate us. They want to keep us apart.
Sure.
They want to keep us fighting each other. They want to break up the 911 truth movement, et cetera. So it's, you know, it's like you're living in a James Bond movie. You're fighting James Bonds that are undercover agents and that, you know, you may never see. They will be sabotaging your life from all directions. These guys, there's too many of these guys, and they have, you know, too much time and energy and training to go after American citizens who are trying to make a difference and help and educate the public. They want the cover-ups, of course. They want these things covered up. And that is another huge aspect of this book by Karen Wetmore. You know, this these experiments at Vermont State Hospital were thoroughly covered up, probably because of the terminal experiments that went on there. Now, other places like McGill University's Allen Memorial Institute and Stanford and other places like that got much more press when it came to the CIA exposure of the MKUltra project. But Karen's book brought out the Vermont angle, and it did so in a very powerful way. So thanks for your compliments. I consider myself just one of many trying to hammer away at breaking through to the public about what's really going on with the control of our nation by these intelligence agencies and the military. As you know, worldview warfare, psychological warfare, information warfare, cognitive warfare, you name it. They've, you know, asymmetrical warfare, unconventional. They got so much money over there in the Pentagon. They got so many different kinds of warfare. And unfortunately, the targets have become the civilians, the citizens, especially those that might expose their crimes. And so that's why I think I have been sidelined on many things in my life, you know. But I'm still kicking, and I haven't given up. Their goal is to intimidate, to threaten, to, what they call with these non-lethal weapons, they want to take people out of the game. They say that themselves. They don't want them to be able to get back into the game. So they use these quote-unquote non-lethal weapons, these weapons from space, from satellites. This is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with ruthless. What's that?
Ruthless. When they run them off the rails, people, they don't get back on the tracks. They're off. They're out. They get them that way, too. Go ahead. They are ruthless.
Yeah.
They're worse than
that. They're very ruthless. And, you know, so I think there must be kind of a selection process that occurs, you know, in the CIA and the FBI and whatnot. In other words, you get certain people that kind of fit the culture, and they, you know, they're willing to sacrifice their values. And if they're not willing to sacrifice their values, they're hounded out, like Gerald W. Sosby and Ted Gunderson. And oftentimes they're stalked themselves, they're gang stalked themselves, in order to silence them. So what I think we have is our agencies corrupted with people who have sold their souls, essentially. And those who are honest are going to be intimidated, silenced with all these technologies that they've developed as weapons of war. So it is really war against, well, it's a spiritual war. I think it is good versus evil. And I'm afraid the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and the U.S. military are on the wrong side. But anyway, going back to the CIA doctors involved in her tortures, John Gittinger, he was the inventor of the personality assessment system that they used, the CIA used, to decide who would, you know, go in this situation and they'll go, you know, be good for that position or whatever, or how to take somebody down, et cetera. Very important personality assessment system. H. Peter LaCour was the assistant superintendent at VSH and a member of two CIA friend groups. John Bakhoven was a staff psychiatrist at the Vermont State Hospital and research partner of CIA researchers Dr. Robert W. Hyde and Richard York. And then about a dozen other CIA-employed researchers at the Vermont State Hospital and the Vermont University of Vermont Medical School, as per the documents that she looked at. So this woman made a remarkable comeback. We owe her a lot. I mean, to survive what she did is, as you say, very unusual. And then to be able to put the pieces together,
phenomenal.
Really phenomenal. And of course, the people in France who made the documentaries about her, and the British group that, you know, interviewed her for their 2010 documentary on the real Bourne identity, they recognize that this lady is phenomenal and exceptional. And And then in this, okay, so I'm I've been rattling away. I wanted to let your listeners know that I have recently, as of today, put up a post on my Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults website, which is entitled, and people can look it up, I'm sure, on whatever search engine, Surviving Evil, : CIA Terminal Mind Control Experiments in Vermont. That's the name of Karen's book. And then the title, Karen Wetmore's Story, book review, my notes, and video interviews. So in this one post, I accumulate what I can have found out. I put her book on there, which is in PDF form. I then put together my notes, and then I put together this book review by a lady whose name is Mary W. Maxwell, and who really is quite another expert on the whole mind control thing. I'm always learning. Here's what she says in her review of Karen's book. Karen was not selected as a child to be trained in the way survivor Carol Rutz was via a military parent. She was not born into a family where torture was already happening, as was Trish Fotheringham. She was not born into a cult, as was David Schurter. She was not sold on the slave market, as was Bryce Taylor. There is no mention in this book of any satanic activity. It was medical all the way. I mean, that's a sophisticated paragraph. She knows the topic of how people get funneled into this system of exploitation.
Is she still here?
Well, if she was quite recently, I think she's just a couple years younger than me, about 73 or so.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, she is still alive. And you can go to this little post and see her on the French interviews. Anyway, mm-hmm. She was interviewed also by a Gnostic media, but a guy named Jan Irvin, who's done a lot with MKUltra, but it's one of those things where you have to pay for it, so I haven't looked at it. But she's a treasure, I think, in the war between good and evil. And unfortunately, our leaders are on the wrong side. And we have to help each other somehow, like this woman who does the review, Mary W. Maxwell. We have to keep plugging away. We have to not give up. We have to realize we are up against evil, and we have to shine a light on it. That's the best disinfectant. I'm afraid Representative Anna Paulina Luna's 1.5 hours of hearing is not going to do it.
Joke,
so we have
friends.
To
what a joke.
Step
what a
up.
Bad joke. That's called sweeping it under the rug while making it appear that that's not happening. I mean, they just dumped it.
Yeah, they're spinning. They're covering up. They're controlling. This is a world run by intelligence agencies. And to let you know that this is still the modus operandi, here's what Dr. Robert Duncan says. This is a quote I have at the beginning of this post. He was a CIA DARPA neuroscientist and a whistleblower and a targeted individual and author of a couple books, one of which is called Project Soul Catcher, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed, which came out in 2010. Now, here's what he says. In one of his interviews, this is not from the book per se, it's one of his many interviews, he's a great friend of targeted individuals, Michael W. Wynn, 21st Secretary of the Air Force, 2005 to 2008, previously Vice President of General Dynamics and former employee of Lockheed Martin said, we have to use it, the cognitive, psychotronic, neuroweapons, offensive information warfare weapon system, on our own citizens before we will use it on the battlefield. Quote, that's the way they think, says Duncan. He got fired for that comment by CIA Director Robert Gates, which tells you the pecking order, doesn't it? CIA over U.S. Air Force, although both working along the same lines. Every time and then back to Duncan, every time the military gets a bigger budget, like after 9/11, you have more targets come online. And they all have the same date when they came online. Think of how many targets there are going to be next year with $1.5 trillion military budget.
Yep. The flock cameras, again, are a visible part of the monster. Most of the monster is invisible. But the flock cameras, it's getting press, it's out there. Americans are actually beginning to stand up and disable the cameras, as are others, I think in the UK primarily, which is a little bit encouraging. We're not trying to incite anything here, but it's good to see people who have virtually no chance to make change, as we used to think we could make change, that's by voting, doing something that will help protect the individual rights and liberties of people. And that's what these cameras are taking away. It's terrible.
Yes, between the cameras and the AI data centers, I think
Hold that thought. I want to repeat to you, I don't know if you heard it, but I still believe firmly that we are not being told one half of what those data centers are ultimately to be used for. That's my take. They are really going to roll some things out that no one talks about now, but will lead to abject domination of the species in this country. I really believe it.
It does seem that control, total control, is the goal of the slave masters, the psychopaths, the predator class, the pedophile class. we're talking about now, we're kind of fleshing out the timeline of events in which they have proceeded and the weapons they've developed. But yes, I agree that there's a lot we don't know about what they've got in terms of these weapons. But listen to this. This is from page 275 in Karen's book. CIA research sites and agencies identified in Senate reports, declassified CIA documents, and by noted authors include, and she would have had contact with some of these, like the Boston Psychopathic Hospital, Butler, McGill, Allen Memorial Institute, Georgetown Hospital, Cornell, Stanford, Harvard, Kentucky University, University of Maryland, Johns Hopkins, University of Indiana, MIT, Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, Queens College, Penn State, Lexington, American Psychological Association, American Psychiatric Association, School of Aviation Medicine and the Air Force, Army, Navy, Department of Energy, Department of Defense, University of Denver, and I haven't got halfway through, University of Illinois, Iowa State Hospital, Iona State Hospital in Michigan, University of Minnesota, Columbia, Emory University, Indiana University. I think I'm about halfway through now. NIH, National Institutes of Health, Fauci, National Institutes of Mental Health, NIMH, USPHS, FDA, Naval Research, on and on and on and on, Worcester Foundation for Experimental Biology, Manhattan State Hospital, Rutland Heights Hospital, University of Rochester, Rockefeller Foundation, Massachusetts General Hospital, Medfield State Hospital, UCLA, American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks guys, Missouri Institute of Psychiatry, Human Ecology Fund, Josiah Macy Jr. Foundation, and the Gershichter Foundation. And who is funding these projects? Well, she's got that too on page 272. Let's see if I can find that. Yeah. I obtained a 2009 list of federal funding sources at UVM, that's the Medical Center, College of Medicine at the University of Vermont. This list includes NATO, National Security Agency, Department of Energy, Department of Justice, Advanced Research Projects Agency, ARPA, DARPA, Department of Defense, Office of Naval Research, Army Medical Research and Material Command, Air Force Office of Scientific Research, Interior Department, United States Department of State, and NASA, the Josiah P. P. Macy Jr. Foundation was removed from the list prior to 2009. So these are the people behind the mind control programs going back to the 50s and earlier. In other words, it's the U.S. government. In other words, it's our government.
It's
now,
worse
isn't
than
that horrible?
That. It's the darkness that controls our government and has, in fact, become our government. This isn't a government. It's black evil. Okay? And the people, the players involved are, in so many cases, beyond compromised. They are not representing us, we the people. No. This is it. The takeover is virtually complete. I see no way to reverse it easily at all. And I wish I was able to say something more constructive. Thank you, my friend. Very good. You are amazing. Every time we're together, I learn more and more. And it's all basically in your mind. You've got it all. And his websites, Eric's websites, go and look at them. You need to know what's going on here. This is not a little thing. It's huge. Anyhow, thank you.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Yes, the website is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. 2,700 posts on there. I've been working on it since 2016. And, yes, people are, other TIs are in contact with me and have been since 2016. And, you know, I'm just a drop of water in a bucket. But if there can be a lot of drops, maybe we can see some progress. Thanks for your help so much, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Of course. My pleasure. All right. Have a good weekend. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Eric.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Just stunning. Stunning, stunning. All right. We'll take a little break and come right back. Sean Lundblad is back with us tonight. We're going to take a look and see where he is in his absolutely Frankensteinian ordeal with neck surgeries, spinal surgeries, and then his UFO experiences as well. It's too bad he couldn't get them to do the fixes. I think he'd have much better results. We'll be right back. Hold on.